We, the unwilling, who have been led by the unqualified, have been doing the unbelievable for so long with so little. We now attempt to do the impossible with nothing. Good evening, everybody out there. Yes, this is Mission Possible Radio, and I am the host, Boss RJ, and we are on tonight. You know, I told you a long time ago, I said to you, I said, hey, my hero is Mae Brussels. And I thought tonight, for those people who may be just kicking back, I thought I might just, I found something I wanted to read to you before we get really going into this show to give you an understanding of where I'm coming from, because where she's coming from, I'm coming from. And I thought it would be nice to read to you a little bit of what Mae has said. She says, everyone doesn't know what Mae Brussels is against. If I tell you what I'm against, you can deduce or know what I am for. Quote, I am against the planned political assassinations by our intelligence and defense agents, the CIA, the FBI, the DIA, the DISC, which is the Defense Industrial Security Command, were set up originally to protect citizens of the United States of America. They became their own judges and juries, private servants of corporations with investments at home and abroad. I am against the constant destruction of evidence in criminal matters and political assassinations. Prime witnesses are murdered before or after testifying. Diaries are forged and planted in obvious places. Doubles are created to confuse. The police departments manipulate facts in cooperation with conspirators. I am outraged that our judicial system since 1947 has been patterned after Nazi Germany. Patsies are dead or locked away. The assassins walk the streets or leave the country home free. I am against using the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court to cover up assassinations. When the highest court is corrupt, there is no hope at local levels. I am against allowing the CIA to spend, and at this time when she was speaking, it was $25 million since 1947, for the express purpose, as stated before, to alter our behavior. Is the state supreme over individuals? Who owns or controls our minds? Why was CIA Director Alan Dulles allowed to order 100 million LSD tablets? Were half the U.S. population going to receive their doses? What gives the CIA and the Pentagon the right to define normal or to determine what is national security? Are we being drugged through food, water, and supplied with chemicals so we become slaves and robots? Where is all this cancer coming from? Why the preoccupation with death? Why is the U.S. government in the business of creating a psycho-civilized world? Who is ordering the ultrasonic waves to lower brain waves of city populations to an alpha state, leaving citizens susceptible to mass propaganda and hypnotic suggestion? These facts have been confirmed by researcher Walter Bowart in 1977. I learned about the project years ago. I am against the mass media, CBS, ABC, NBC, UPI, AP, being used by Washington, D.C. since World War I, by the CIA since World War II, as pure propaganda tools. My positive philosophy is very simple. I believe there is in each of us a potential for peace and harmony. A few power mad perverts dictate orders that must be challenged. They are going against the laws of nature. A family and society does not care for its infants with love and affection will create and does produce mad bombers. The source of this peace and harmony is within the family unit, not government agents or law enforcement. Without love in the home, there is never quiet in the community, cities, or around the world. There are ways to counteract the evil being purposely planned. Study history. Separate fears and prejudice from facts. Recognize facts from propaganda. Invest energy in fighting for what you believe in. analyze harder where we are going and what you are going to do about it. What do you really believe in? How much do we care? Many have been sent in a good word your way, and many have been killed in a variety of ways, and others have been mocked and locked away. She asks good questions. She says Edwin Wilson is linked to Bush, to Bobby Ray Inham, to CIA. He is linked to the Nukin Hand Bank, where 12 people have been murdered. Does he know he will be murdered if he doesn't come home? Did he let himself come home and wasn't baited by 18 million? Was Wilson home because he is going to bring down the element of government that has been involved in so much, and Ronald Reagan has been quiet about the Hinckley family? Is this Reagan's way of pulling out the CIA element that tried to kill him for George Bush? Or did George Bush send his campaign advisor, his head henchman from Houston, Texas, again, Mr. Baker, who is chief of staff, to coax Ronald Reagan to take the mob figures on his cabinet? And you know who those figures were. And those figures are people that were working for Merrill Lynch and all of these stock houses and brokerage firms and financiers. You know, there's a lot of things in the news today. You know, you don't need conspiracy. You got downright policy and foreign policy happening today. It's incredible. We got missiles going up in Poland. We have the Prime Minister coming over and saying that President Bush, you know, he may be not so happy over here in terms of what people think of him, but over in Poland, they think a lot of him. They was a little bit suspicious about those missiles, but then we explained, you know, in our own American way that we wasn't putting them there for Russia or anybody like that. No, 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 no. This is for Iraq and for Iran and for North Korea, you see. This is why we're putting these missiles. So when we have these missiles being placed around the world again, you see, we're right back to the 50s. Somebody's preparing for war, and that means that someone is going to attack. Then someone else is going to have to attack back. And this is at the crux of the matter. Who's preparing for war? You know, it's kind of funny because, you know, right before, about 5 months before, we had the Depression in 1929, Hoover was extolling us for having climbed up and we were going to get out of this whole thing. And then all of a sudden, boom, we had the crash and then we had the Depression. So I don't necessarily listen to these here politicians when they tell me they got a handle on things. What's in the news today? All right, Saudi Arabia's finally said, okay, oil is at a high enough price. Let me make a little more money. You guys need a little oil. But here's where you get good. Everybody now that the oil is going all the way up, like from, you know, to like, it's like a 134 gallon, I mean 1434 gallon. Oh, let me tell you, it just boggles my mind every time I go to the gas tank. But anyhow, what I am trying to say is that oil is $134 a barrel. Oh, well, now Saudi Arabia says, well, we got to help this. You know, the problem here is oil speculators. Then you get home, now that's Saudi Arabia. And what you need to remember now is, remember, Saudi Arabia is not necessarily America's friend. You see what I'm saying? They needed us, but they didn't like needing us. And when we sent them them F-15s and they didn't have no weapons, you know, for engagement, they didn't like that little joke. We sent them empty planes. And, you know, like about 1991, they got a chance to remind us of that because we needed those bases over there so that we could do our pre-landings and stuff for the Desert Storm. I love this stuff. You know, when you really look at it, it's just how the world works. And can't nobody accuse me of starting a speculation here because this is all part of history. These are the things that happen day by day. They're in the newspapers. When you look at these dates and the things that I'm talking about, you say, yeah, if you pick out a date, you pick out a date like January 30th, 1976, and that's when you see George Bush Sr. going in to the CIA. And what we do know is that Ford was replaced by Carter, and when George asked Carter if he could stay on, you know, Jimmy said, no, you got to go. I got somebody else, and Stansfield Turner took over. What do we got going on here? We have an exchange that keeps going back and forth, but it's all the same party. Let me tell you just how much when you all wake up and when all the records are really taken out as to how close Jimmy Carter is to all those drug-running guys and the arms and all of that. How close he is to Mossad and all the killings and everything else. He looks pretty cool. But you see, people have all kinds of ways of making it through the world, and they have all ways of convincing themselves that they are great and that what they're doing is right. But it is about the money. You know, Don Nicolaus says, follow the money. Everybody says, follow the money. May said, follow the money. Follow the money. She did. She followed the money. She said, she asked that question back in 1963. Who is Oswald and where did he get his money and how did he get into Dallas, Texas? And how could he gotten back into the country after having reneged on his oath and everything else? He must have been a double agent. It was from there that she began to put it all together. And from there, that's when she discovered all the stuff about Howard Hughes and all the stuff about Aristotle Onassis. And all of it's really delicious. And they all know it is the truth. And all of us need to know it is the truth. And, you know, one more time, the boss is going to tell you, at some point in time, we are going to have to rewrite history. See, they'd like to think that they're going to get away with it and that their names will be in there and associated with all their good deeds. But what good deeds are they? Giving you an example. If I take you all the way back to that beloved president, to probably the namesake of the president that did us all in 1991 and 2, and from 1998, that would be George Herbert Walker Bush. Herbert, I do believe, he might have got that from that great mining engineer. I'm not sure his name, say, Herbert Hoover. But I like to talk about Hoover because he comes in just at the time when you could probably say the last little bit of delicious putting in place of all of the agents that needed to be in place so that Germany could rise and that business could be done again was done through Hoover. Now, you have to really understand who Hoover was because, you know, he was a mining engineer, and a lot of his time was spent in Australia, and a lot of his time was spent in mining. And when he got the idea that he should use a process that would be so devastating to the ecology and to the whole land down there in Australia, he made a lot of money in his recovering zinc. And this zinc production led to him being able to make investments in Tsarist Russia. And when the Russian Revolution happened, now remember, now you got to follow this guy because he's going in and out of government, you know, he's got the food thing going on, he's feeding the refugees, he comes along and he really pisses off a lot of people, a lot of Republicans, because he said, hey, you got to feed these Germans too, you know, we got to feed everybody, we can't let nobody starve. And in doing so, he sent money over to Germany, and that money was used to rearm Germany, you see, to begin to. He never believed in the Versailles Treaty. There was a lot of people over here that didn't like this whole thing of the reparations towards Germany. I'm telling you, there was something going on, America, and yet y'all want to move on. You know, it sounds like we're not sheep, we're more like cows. It sounds like, move on. Well, I'm not ready to move on. That's why I stick with it. I stick with it because George Bush Sr. worked with the Contras. You say, well, how can you prove? Well, no, you can't prove it because there's where you get it. That's what May's talking about. I don't want to be in a country where they can allow them to destroy evidence. It should be absolute mandatory that his records and his appointment books and all should be looked into so that we can put him in the places where he needs to be, because ain't no way he could have survived this long without being clean and not knowing. So we know that's a whole bunch of hooey. So you say to yourself, what in the name of goodness is the point of this tirade? It is a point to tell you that when we get to the point where the new candidate is talking about oil speculators, and then you get the king of Saudi Arabia talking about these nasty oil speculators, and you wonder, who are these oil speculators that they're talking about? And why are they speculating on oil? Could it be because we are in a shortage? Well, then you ask yourself, boss, is there really such a thing as peak oil? Well, I have to ask you, do you really think that there's a inexhaustible resource of oil? And even if there was no peak oil, wouldn't you like us to take a break from burning petrochemicals? In one sense, we have our candidates talking about there is no such thing, that oil speculation is a terrible thing. And the next time you look at it, they say, and there is no such thing as peak oil. What is the truth? Does anybody know the truth? I know this. I know we need to learn how to burn or to provide energy in a manner in which would be more likable to the universe. And that might be that we begin to look at these alternatives, and I'm hoping that whoever the next candidate is that part of our whole national security was based on the fact that we were dependent on Middle Eastern oil. And the only reason we was dependent on Middle Eastern oil is because those dang oil companies here in America saw it was cheaper to get the oil over there than it was for them to take it and refine the nasty stuff that's in the ground over here in the United States. Basically, it's a matter of dollars and cents. That's it. Dollars and cents diplomacy. You know, look at these people and know it's not too late not to get them. You know, I mean, we've done our homework. We've seen it all. And what can we do? If there's anybody out there that wants to share and come in on this conversation and talk to me, you go ahead. If not, I'm going to give you a dissertation in history a little bit more. I also want to make you aware that as the dollar is falling again, we're starting to see some rise in gold again, you know. And I use that as an indicator as to how the world is going, you know. And I've been seeing that pattern once again. America selling their interest in gold, and they're buying into the stock market. That's important. That stock market's got to be way up there, and everybody's got to be on board when it comes crashing down. You see, the world is in a serious tizzy, and what makes it really delicious is that there are people who love to see the world in a tizzy, you see, because then they can come in and they can do their thing. Now, what they are preparing for, and I know some people haven't heard this word in a long time, but I think we're going to see a little insurrection. You know, that's a word that people aren't really talking a lot about, insurrection. Now, when it comes to insurrections, usually you have to use a word like militias. Now, now is there something in our Constitution about militias? I'm not quite sure yet, but I'm making my study on that because I'm starting to look at a study that was done quite recently on state militias and how they have been working and what they believe in, and they're not very happy. And so all I can say right there is that you got this entity with inside the United States that is not happy. Now, this may just be the kind of form situation in which the government is making this happen. You know, I wouldn't put them past them, you know. But there is something going on between labor and government again, and a lot of unemployment rising, and a whole bunch of people not happy. And all I can say is that we get oil from many different places, but most of the oil in the demand is going to go. It's almost as if you're asking everybody to say, oh, well, this was phony. Well, then all that money that was invested into the oil market to make it all the way up to 134, is that real money? Okay. Is it real money? Or is it e-money? I don't know. You see, that's the big thing everybody got to remember now is that we're in a territory of economy that nobody really understands. You got real money. Well, I don't know what real money is anymore because all of it's just printed by, you know, the Federal Reserve. We know this. You got lots of talk show hosts that are telling you all about it. But the reality of it is you don't hear the candidates talking this kind of stuff. You see what I'm saying? That's where you get your indicator of the real and the not-so-real deal. Is that who's willing to talk about this stuff? Well, I remember, and I started out with Mae Brussels. Mae Brussels, she had a show called The World Watchers International, and I mean, I am a big fan of hers, and it's not so much that she did, because one of the things that I have done is research May and pulled out. I will listen to the shows, I take my notes, and I go to the net, and I find, and I see, and I go, and I see, and what has it allowed me to do? It's allowed me to get ahead. It's allowed me to see it all coming. So much so that I told you in the Turtle Party, we thought it was going to be a woman in 2008 that was going to be nominated and run, but it turned out to be a black man, which, you know, I guess in our society it might be that, you know, black men have been treated like women more than they have been treated like equal human beings. I don't know if anybody agrees with that, but, you know, we all have a long way to go in terms of equality, and I think that when you look at it all, it's kind of interesting that it was duked out between a white woman and a black man. That is, that's my little take on it. So now we got Obama, and like my father said, if you can't respect the man, respect the position he holds. And right now, he's running for President of the United States? Does the boss have a choice? I have a vote. That's the beautiful thing. I don't have a choice. I got a vote. I have to vote. Now, who am I going to vote for? That's the beautiful part of the whole thing about this here democracy. I don't have to divulge that. I can only talk about the candidates. Today we're talking about energy because that's what they was talking about. I'm trying to follow it, you know. Now Obama says he has a way and a plan to bring the prices down. Down to where? How much do you think anybody's going to want to suffer in terms of oil? And who are you going to teach a lesson to? You're going to teach a lesson to the little guy that learned how to penny trade and then graduated up and started investing in gold and silver. You're going to teach them all a lesson like you taught them a lesson back in 1929? What? You know. It's got to be kind of slow, though. You're going to have to move a little slow. And the other side of it all is that all of this, while we're talking about the Middle East, there's something going on over in China. Oh, yeah, there's always something going on over in China. But more than that, we are also looking at the Mexican peso. Oh, my goodness. Talk about the peso. Could it be that a lot of the money is going back home? The drug dealers ain't finding it safe to keep their money over here in America. They sending it back home. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, the money's going back to the Mexican banks. When I say Mexican bank, that takes me all the way back to Watergate, takes me all the way back to JFK. Yeah, where does all this money go and where does it come back? I do know that if anybody could get it out of a Mexican bank, it would be George Bush, because I do believe that he does speak Spanish. I'm talking about his daddy. I ain't talking about George. I guess George speaks a little Spanish, too, I imagine. But I think that one of the things that I want to say, the boss wants to say, is that y'all better get ready, because I think there's an implosion coming, another implosion like 911. Only ain't going to be a building. It's going to be your bank account. Yes, I think there's going to be a couple of failed states around here, and when that happens, you're going to find that it's going to lead to some serious protective measures. And the people that are going to be putting those measures out are the ones that are going to be trying to cover their you-know-what, you know. And as chaos reigns and the debts fail and the contracts get all reneged and the federal deficits rise and the labor problems start to get bad and the corruption starts to get terrible and the powerful start trying to stand on top of all of us, disorder may come, but I'll tell you what you do, and this is what I want you to do when all of that is happening, and when CNN finally tells you, what you do is you turn off the television, and you go outside, and you make sure the sun is still shining, and you make sure that the moon is still out there, comes up in its phases, and you make sure that the plants and everything are growing, you know, because they don't live in my kingdom, so I can only look at it. But I'll tell you, there's something happening. Because I study history, folks, and I study J.P. Morgan, and I don't understand, but they're buying up all the banks that are going under. So what is that? Go ahead and explain it to me. Explain it to me, you know. But it could be that the money's running south. You know why money runs south? Because they don't want to get caught up in the exposure. Yeah. And I tell you, I've seen a lot of money. I've seen a lot of money packed into a truck that was supposed to look like some kind of transportation truck, and it was on its way to the United States. Got me some tea. Oh, it's so good. Chai tea, that is. So you want to look at that Mexican peso. You know, hey, speculating. What else is there left to do? That's what they do. They speculate. I speculate, and I win. I speculate because I have God on my side, and God tells me what to do. Hey. And God tells me to tell you, everything that you are seeing is not real, but everything that you have experienced is real. That's for sure, and that's what's in your life. One of the things I wanted to say today, you know, I have a lot of respect for the whole idea of democracy. You know, it's funny that democracy is one of those things that we want to export all around the world. We want everybody to have the kind of democracy that we have enjoyed here in America. Boy, oh boy, is the world in trouble. You know, it's important for people to understand that everything that we are doing right now, we got to stop. That's why I talk like I do, because I look at history and I see how many, many times people have come to the forefront and tried to tell us things, you know, try to tell us things like, you know, if you go messing with that there X-ray stuff, you know, it's not too good for people, you know. Maybe what you should do is maybe ignore that and leave that alone. Put that on the shelf. No, 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 no. They want to control, you see. This is how it is. They control you, you see. And when they try to control you, they try to do things that they think are in your best interest. And part of that, for me, is they don't know me. God knows me. God knows what we need. And that's where we should be with this whole situation. You know, a lot of people understand a lot of things, and part of what I've always subscribed to is if someone makes fun of something, you better look at it pretty careful. One of the things that I find the mainstream media always making fun of is Scientology, you know. They're always like, who's L. Ron Hubbard and what did he do and who is he? But, you know, I went digging, looking, trying to figure out who he was, too, and I found him to be a very interesting human being. And through him, I really understood exactly how we went gaga, go crazy, and how we made deals with the devil back in, I guess you would even say, like, 41, before even the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. We were sitting down with a lot of the Nazis and trying to figure out what would happen if they wasn't able to win the war. And, you know, when Operation Barbarossa was a little bit of a success, they saw a turning of the tide, but then, you know, winter kicked in because they didn't move fast enough. And Russia, you know, they know how to fight in the cold, you know, and so they were starting to kick the Germans' booties and beat them back and make their way into Berlin. And at that time, as soon as that started to happen, you best believe this. A lot of people want to know. But I do believe, and I am a sincere believer at looking at how the world has been today, that Adolf Hitler, he did not die in no bunker, and that he lived to an old age, and he was right here in America like everybody says. And it's not like I heard that from Don Nikoloff. These are things that Mae Brussels was talking about back in 1988. These are the things that she was seeing through her own research in her own way with Bruce Roberts and what he was talking about, studying the gemstone and putting it all together, using all her wits, newspaper articles, everything, day after day after day. You know, if anybody has a chance, I encourage you to become a Brussels sprout and to begin to listen to some of the MP3 playings. I can only tell you that there's like an offer on her website for 650 hours. We're talking from 1971 all the way to 88. And in that time, she covers her investigation, the Warren Commission, and the anomalies that were not adding up and the differences in the people that were appearing. She talks about the Polish connection, and when you look at how it is that the future president, Obama, will be leaning on a Polish person and Warsaw and all of that, and out goes Kissinger, which was part of Germany and the English plan. And when you look at how we've been passed back and forth, and I'm thankful to May to give me these names in history that I'm able to then go and look in their biographies and say, oh, yes, that was your leanings, or how you speak honestly now about what it is that you were thinking back then. When I read Truman's biographies and autobiographies, when I read these presidents' thoughts about what they were doing and what he was thinking when he was dealing with the partitioning of Palestine and his attitude towards the Arabs and the attitude towards the Jews and what was important to him and what was important to the State Department at the time and why everything had to be. If it isn't true that we didn't have pink wall, we must look at the fact that somehow or another that area of the world is strategically advantageous to us, and that we will do anything in our power to possess that region. Why? For the oil. So why should we argue about whether or not there's enough oil or there isn't enough oil? We need oil. You see. There isn't enough natural gas. There isn't enough anything. Because as Mother Nature starts to rock and roll, the production of the things that you need, of the refining of the oil, it doesn't matter what the price of oil is in terms of energy and the price of energy and the price that it takes to extract that oil. See, because they are looking for cheap raw materials. They're not looking for expensive raw materials. It doesn't work like that. The capitalist system doesn't work on expensive. It works on cheap. And when it can't get cheap and it becomes expensive, the whole system starts to cave in. And guess who it caves in on? That's right, you and me. And it comes down to the fact that this is part of the reason why we are learning to get along, just like the English and all the people in Europe and all around the world. We are getting ready to understand what it is to go broke through your gas tank and to cry for mass transit, which won't be able to keep up with the budgeting populations and the weather changes and everything. Oh my goodness, I mean, people underwater, people in the middle of fire, people, I'm telling you, the prognosis for nature. I was listening to Don Nicolau. I want to say I do agree with his guest that was there on Friday. I do believe that Mother Earth is definitely a living, breathing creature, and that she can read our thoughts, and that our thought life is what affecting this here planet. That our thought life, our aggressive and hateful thoughts are what fuels this planet and makes it warm. And it isn't until we get to the love, and when we, like Dr. Len says, when we get to that 528 frequency, we get to the green, we get to that cool color, you know, that you emanate through your body, that we get back to the love, that we'll see a change in the planet. Other than that, you know, one could get way out there with, well, if we put all this stuff up in space, why wouldn't we think that they could be using this stuff against us? Anyhow, I thought I might go to a historical point. I want to make a point, you know. We're talking about Kennedy. It's one of my favorite things to study because I just ain't got over it. It's one of the things that's like, they're asking us to move on, but still I can't because there's just so much skullduggery going down. But when I think about it, I just wanted to tell you, I have an interesting, I was reading Robert Novak, and, you know, he's an interesting character at Evans. These are conservatives that wrote about Johnson, but one of the things that I realized is that I cross-reference books, and so I took out my William Manchester, and I took out Evans and Novak, or Novak and Evans, Lyndon Baines Johnson that they wrote on, and I just took one person, I took Sarah T. Hughes, and I was like, one book has like three pages where they refer to her, and then in The Death of a President, William Manchester refers to her like 88 million times, to be exact, is the way I see it. So I look at this woman in history and I say, what is so important about you? So let me cross-reference you, and I come to find out that the very lady and the whole idea of the oath that was going on after the death of the president. I mean, we're talking about he wasn't even, I guess you couldn't even say that he was cold yet, and Johnson was concerned and about the oath. Now, you know, you'd think that when you're dealing with some time in history, something as important as the oath of the president after the assassination of the president, that the stories would jive, that it would be a pretty simple matter to say, oh, this person thought about the pledge and thought that it'd be fine for him to take the oath on the plane. Now, why? Okay, why would he take the oath in Texas as opposed to in Washington, D.C.? Why would he take it on the ground as opposed to in the air? Why was it so important that he take that oath right then and there? As soon as the bullet hit JFK's head, he became president of the United States. What is an oath? Well, an oath is as good, and this is a quote, oath is to justice as, let me get it straight, as weapons are to defense. It was very important that the oath be taken right then and there to Johnson, you see. I believe that Johnson was scared out of his mind, or Johnson had created an opportunity where he knew exactly who he wanted to give him that oath, and he wanted it done right then and there. And he even disturbed the Attorney General at the time by asking him who should do it, because he believed that it would be a justice matter. So John F. Kennedy's death became a matter of Robert F. Kennedy having to assume responsibility for telling LBJ how and where the oath would be taken. Obviously, Bobby didn't care one bit. But I believe that when Bobby hung up the phone, he did remember the matter of Sarah T. Hughes. And here's where it gets good. You know, when Johnson, who was the majority leader in the House, became vice president, he pretty much lost all his powers. He was like a fish out of water. You know, he even tried to get them to kind of say, well, you know, even though I'm the vice president and I have to preside over the Senate, I'm kind of like a senator still. And they said, we ain't going for that. You the vice president, and you don't have nothing to say no more. And part of why you be a politician and why you have to be a politician of some power is because what's the most important thing that a politician has to give out, and that's jobs, you see, to the people that they really appreciate. And, you know, Johnson wanted to show his appreciation to Sarah T. Hughes, and this is in 1962, and he went to put her name up to be a district judge, and the letter come back saying, no, this woman is too old to be a judge. She doesn't follow the criteria, and the, you know, that we are looking for, blah, 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 blah. So Vice President Johnson, he went to Bobby Kennedy, and he pleaded with Bobby Kennedy. He said, hey, do this for me. No, this woman is too old. I can't do it. Forget it. So one of the things that John F. Kennedy liked to do to make Johnson feel important was send him out of the country on, you know, these little foreign aid junkets and stuff, and to see things good. So what he did was he sent him out of the country. And while he was out of the country, Sam Rayburn was walking through the halls of Congress, and so was Bobby walking in the opposite direction. And Bobby, who had this anti-crime bill thing that he wanted to have, you know, run through Congress, it wasn't going anywhere, and he said to Rayburn, he said, hey, what about that, you know, what about my anti-crime bill? And Rayburn basically said, hey, when you confirm Sarah T. Hughes as a district judge, I will pass that bill. And Bobby Kennedy said, well, but she's too old. And Rayburn reminded him, he said, Sonny, to you, everybody is old. And, you know, Robert, he laughed, and he said, you could have it. And so they confirmed Sarah T. Hughes. But here's the thing that you have to understand about Johnson. You know, Johnson had a big ego. And when he realized that he hadn't been, that the vice president could not persuade the attorney general to give him what he wanted so that his people would be happy, and when he found out that other people found out the story about how Sarah T. Hughes got her position, he was not a happy camper with Bobby. Oh, no, that was what you call one of those embarrassing moments for him. And let me tell you, I don't know if you studied a lot about Lyndon Baines Johnson, but the man was totally insecure. I mean, even though he was secure, he was very insecure in his power, but he was very powerful. He knew how to wield it. Like you said, power goes where it is, you know, and it stays where it is, and that's the way he thought about it. But he was embarrassed by that whole thing. And, you know, one of the statements that there is a conspiracy kind of thing going around says that one of his lady friends, you know, that was a Lady Bird, you know, said that part of his whole gripe with the Kennedys was that they was always embarrassing him. And he said this time he was in Texas, and when he left his lady friend before that day, he said that John F. Kennedy was never going to, what? Embarrass him again. And, you know, the next day, and you got to remember, he was in San Antonio, Texas, that day before. So it's quite possible that these little tidbits in history, just to show you that these politicians, they just human people, I guess, but they don't act too nice when they get all crazy. You're listening to BBSRadio.com, and I'm the boss, RJ, and this is the Mission Possible Radio Hour. And in this time, I'm trying to tell you, hey, what a dirty little government we have. Now, do I believe that either McCain or Obama can change anything? I say, yes. What kind of change are we looking for, America? I'm hoping that you have some answers. I'm hoping that you will be able to experience the same things that I'm experiencing, which is that isn't it funny that everybody is so optimistic about this future, but the only thing I know is true, and that is that food is going up, that my grocery store don't seem to have enough time to order the butter. Do you know what it's like to go into the store and have your store say they've been out of butter since 2 days ago? And they probably won't get no butter in until Tuesday. And I started to thinking about that when I looked at that shelf and I saw that there was no butter. I started to imagine that possibly there might be shelves that will be empty of a lot of other things. And what will I think? And I said to myself, sure as glad that I believe in God and that I can live without butter. Ha ha. And so I just went on ahead about my business. So what you do is you enjoy what there is to enjoy, and you suffer what there is to suffer. That's the mantra of the 21st century. And prepare, and prepare, and prepare. But what I'd like to be preparing for is peace. We better have a vision, and we better know what that vision looks like. And I'm hoping that you all see peace in the process. And that's going to have to be something that's going to be talked about worldwide. But as our government seems to be wanting to alienate more and more people on the other side of the world by not keeping up on its bargains, by interfering and saying terrible things about all these people, I just don't know how we're going to have peace. I believe that they truly want to continue the war vein. So what do? You pray for them. You pray for them. And what do? You study. And what do? You gather together, and you begin to talk, and you begin to compare notes, and you begin to look at the alternatives. One of them is, and I'm real glad to tell you, that we finally, I think we found our auto mechanic who is interested in doing the water car. So we've made a copy of it, and we've given it up, and it's in his hands. And all I can tell you, folks, is that I will keep you totally tuned in charge. So what's going on? Well, Reverend Roxy, on the inside hour is still happening, and Dr. Leonard Horowitz on the inside hour is happening, and I do believe that we will be continuing to talk about the upcoming event that will be happening. Oh, it'll be all over at June 22nd. We'll be sitting back and, like, just patting ourselves on the back and listening to the mighty, mighty, mighty response and feeling the response that will happen at the live H2O concert. Oh, yeah, it's going to go down, and we're talking. It's going down in the year 2009, and that's a prediction, and it also gives us hope, because I tell you, I love knowing what I'm going to be doing in 2009 and what Dr. Len has planned, and the mighty sacred tones and all the people that are working around him and the music. It should be a mighty event. Kind of like the Woodstock of the spiritual world. Your soul life will be aggrandized by this event, and you can't miss it. So I want you to go quickly and check out live h2o.org. Oh, yeah, so that you can get in on it. Because we are actually very happy to tell you that you have a role in the upcoming future of this planet. So that's what's coming up, and I'm happy to say. And the other thing is that as we begin to talk, I also am working with and happy to say that I was on the Evident Footprint Hour. We were talking about Otto Skorzeny and all of the Nazis and everything, and I tell you, I like talking about that stuff, you know, because it reminds me that, you know, We have to be ever vigilant of the fascist people in the world. They don't like us to be getting too far. And there are people out here that are trying to stop us. So you have to really pray through it, and you have to really understand it. That's why you can't be faint-hearted these days, you know, you can't. There is and exists entity out there that is as good as gold, and there's an entity out there that is just as bogus as trying to sell us silver for zinc and blah, blah, blah. You know, part of what I look at and what I look at history is I look at how the techniques that were used to terrorize people in different parts of the world, you know. You can look in Germany and see the night and the fog. You can look to the Cultural Revolution in China. All of these things were techniques that were used to seize people and endanger them, and then to immediately make their whereabouts unknown to their families, and then they never show up. This is the kind of stuff that back in the Nazi Germany times people were exposed to as a way in which they were told, you know, you better fear us. Don't bother fearing God. Fear us. Mighty power. Look what happens to you. We can do that. We hold the power of life and death over you. Well, you know that's not true. But they certainly can try. But in the end, they always lose. And the grand conspiracy that they seem to want to play out is getting less and less and less viable. So they're having to change their tune. And me, I see that as the reason why we have who we have running today. It's a noble experiment, and it is going to be, I guess, what you would call a cliffhanger. You know, I mean, this is going to be one of them ones where it's like, whoa, I never thought, or my gecko guru just clicked, you know, because I tell you, sometimes they say over here, when you speak the truth, the gecko clicks, you know, and he doesn't talk all the time. I think it's important that we really understand that. We're coming down. Can you believe it, folks? I have been talking to you, and I have like maybe 5 or 10 minutes left. I could tell you this. When you cross-reference history and you start to look at it, you can actually see the CIA and the FBI all lying through their teeth, and you wonder, how many different renditions of a story can I get on one specific name as to how she got in, how she got her job, why she was there that day, where was she before John F. Kennedy was shot, why she was waiting to see him at the trademark, where'd she go after that? She went home. How long did it take to find her? Why did they have to use her? These are all the things you ask yourself. But when you really look at it, you know why. One man's ego was satisfied that day when that woman, who he couldn't get to be the judge, you know, now swore him in as President of the United States. It's life's little ironies that power these politicians. And the type of skullduggery that was back then, oh, they had lots of help. Because this was a foreign intrigue kind of thing. You know, when you think about all those people in the Middle East, you got to remember that when the Nazis all kind of got to running around, a lot of them went to the Middle East. Oop, my gecko clicked again. And when I say that, I say stay tuned for that, because that's the rising part of the story that's really going to make you understand exactly why oil is $134 a barrel, you see. You have to understand that these Nazis were very, very welcome into the Saudi Arabian, families, and into all the Middle Eastern countries, into Egypt. I mean, when I look back and I do my studies, you see people like Nasser and Sadat. I mean, even Sadat said Hitler was, you know, was a cool guy. You know, so if he thinks he's a cool guy and he thinks Hitler's a cool guy, then you know where his sympathies lie. And that's where Egypt's at. And, you know, when you look at Egypt and you look at their politics, whoo-wee! Boy, we're talking Nazification for sure. Now, why would I be telling you all of this stuff? Because it's foreign policy. It's what's happening today. Yes, there are missiles being sent to Poland to make them feel safe. These missiles are not just little, you know, firecrackers, you know, and they're aimed at somebody. Well, you know, and if they are used, they will create an effect. The whole idea here is to return to a diplomacy of peace. Like it says in our family poem, let us stand and declare this day that world peace is no longer on the way, because now it is here and forever it will stay. But to you, America, ho, 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 this is it. This is your last chance to absolutely cut. You know what? So it's time for us to stop. Now, why would I speak this way? Well, you know, for you BBS radio listeners, you know, y'all so into it. You don't need to hear any of this. I make these archives for the future generation. So that when they say, hey, why didn't you guys say anything? I can say, I said something. I said you can't put a fire out, you know, with gasoline. I said you can't carry water in a sieve. I said you can't bury people who should live. This is what I've been saying. And these are the voices in the mix. Putting it down for posterity. Pulling for the right side. The righteous side. Pulling for my stupid brothers to do the right thing. To tire of losing. Tire of deceit. Tired of fraud and all of it. I can't begin to tell you how much they've defrauded us, how much they have robbed us. But in a sense, we've let them because we've allowed these politicians to take care of these things. But as you can see, I believe that we're going to have to form a coalition of the unwilling. And once we have that coalition, I'm hoping that more and more of you will see how unwilling you are to go down these rabbit holes, to go down these rat holes, to go down these ways in which are just open to nothing but more deceit, more frustration, and more disappointment. I think we deserve a little bit better. So with all this tongue-in-cheek stuff going on, all I can say to you is, you know, keep your God head and keep the love in your heart for your brothers and sisters, even the ones that ain't doing so good. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And the other thing is that now's the time not to be going off and fighting and everything. And the other thing is try and make this one of those years where you drink a little less during the summer. That's the way to hit them. Smoke a little less cigarettes, drink a little less alcohol, eat a little less junk food. Every time you think about eating a candy bar, think about how you're helping the capitalistic mongrels and corporations. Buy less, save more, and don't save it in the bank. Put it somewhere. Invest it in something that you know is going to be good. I'm going to tell you something. Gold right now is 905. We get ready to go for a little bit of a rally, but then it's going to go down a little bit. So there'll be a buying opportunity for you, but I'm going to tell you something. Soon enough, you're going to see it happen. We're going to return to the gold value. And you say, it can't happen. It's going to leave a lot of people to the wayside. But that's why we have to believe in God. That's why we have to do the right thing, and that is to share the wealth and spare ourselves for the not having and for the have-nots. We have to do it. Okay, so that's my little pep talk for you. You know, you can go ahead. Everything is going up. Look, but be cautious in your trading. Be cautious in your investments. And be good to yourself, and try to stay away from the fluoride. Ha 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 ha. Anyhow, this is Mission Possible Radio Hour, and this is BBSRadio.com, and you've been listening to me, the boss, RJ. I hope that you will listen again and tune in. I try to do a tight show. It's 55 minutes into my show. That leaves me 5 minutes to do the advertisement for the sponsors I don't have. Someday maybe I will have those sponsors, but I do leave that spot. So with that, I'm going to tell you all, hey, 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 for now, just keep the faith, hold the faith, and maybe we will win the race. But as I say, as we say here in Hawaii, aloha.